or you might be 2 minutes early.
But I don't see the pastor.
A what?
The pastor.
Oh.
Well, oh, there she is.
Okay. Not much usually gets pastor.
Good morning. Things are in the way here, kind of, as you can tell. We are glad that you are here today. Please silence any electronic devices, phones, pagers, as we listen to Bob and Tammy's prelude. Thank you, Bob and Tammy. Noel, indeed. Good morning and welcome to First Christian Church.
Good morning.
We'll try again. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to First Christian Church. We are so glad that you are here. Please take a moment to fill out the friendship sheet in the pew and pass it down and then pass it back to the middle. That way we know that you have been here. If you are visiting, we would love to have some contact information, so please put either an email or a phone number down. If you look at the goldenrod sheet, list of announcements, lots of things coming up this week. Blanket Blitz is coming up Saturday, the 16th, hoping to make 100 blankets, and that's in 5 hours. Is that right, Debbie? 5 hours. 100, that's 20, right? 20 an hour? Did I get that right? That seems a lot. So I'm guessing that the more hands they have, the better chance they have of making that. So if you're interested, please contact Debbie Mestis if you have any questions. Next week, the choir will present a special musical presentation. There will be no chapel service. Please note that Christmas Eve day, we will have one service at 10:10 and one service in the evening at 7. The elders' dinner is coming up on the 21st. Reservations are due in by the 13th. So that is open to current, previous, and incoming elders. So we'd love to have as many people as possible. One announcement that did not make it in, Thursday night, this Thursday, I think that's the 14th at 6:30, God and Life class is going to be meeting. So are there any other announcements? Mike. Boy Scouts are selling popcorn downstairs after church. Anything else? All right. If you can turn in your hymnals to number 122, get ready to sing as we stand and greet each other.
Greet.
Noisy cusses, ain't they?
Oh, let's give it a...
We give it a 10 count. And then start.
1, 2, 3. That gives me time to have a sip of coffee. Okay. No. Please join me in the call to worship. Come quickly, Shalom, teach us how to prepare.
For a gift that compels us with justice to care.
Our spirits are restless till sin and war cease.
One candle is lit for the reign of God's peace.
Join me in prayer, please. Lord, in this time of waiting for your Son, we want peace. We want the deep peace that comes with loving you. And yet we see, simply by turning on our televisions or listening to the radio, that peace is hard to come by. Internal strife, politics, wars, all types of activity that go against what you speak of. We ask that as we draw closer to your Son's birth, we become closer to you as well, and that we can truly turn our swords into plowshares. We ask this as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Lord.
some ways, our journey during the season of Advent is like watching a seed grow. The prophet Isaiah speaks of Jesus' birth being like a shoot that springs forth from the stem of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David, a direct ancestor of Jesus of Nazareth. The birth of Jesus brings the seed of God's love to earth and plants it in each human heart that is open to Christ's presence. Pardon me. In nature, seeds are planted in the darkness underground. God works mysterious ways. At times, it is during the darkest moments of life when the hope of God's presence sprouts in us like a glimmer of light in the darkness. The first candle on the Advent wreath represents hope. Jesus Christ is the hope of the ages. Through his life, his sacrificial death on the cross, and his resurrection, we are given the hope of eternal life.
Waiting for seeds to grow takes patience. Though we can tend the soil, choose a location open to the sun's warmth, and provide water when needed, even the best gardener can't make a seed grow either faster or slower than God has planned. The season of Advent is a time of patience. Even as the world around us swirls with numerous activities, cards, parties, baking, decorating, packing, and wrapping, Advent invites us into a calmer spirit, a journey of patient waiting where we can rest in God's peace. This morning, we light the second candle of Advent wreath, a candle of peace. Isaiah 40:28-29 promises us, "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless." Jesus Christ, whose coming we await, is known as the Prince of Peace. During this second week of Advent, may we take time each day to receive God's gift of peace, offer it to all the world as we invite Christ to be born in our hearts.
I invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Do you all notice anything different in the sanctuary today? Yeah, we have these big bell tables set up. We don't even have our steps that we can usually sit on like we usually do. This morning, the handbell choir is going to play. And so you all are going to get to stay and worship just a little bit longer than usual. You'll wait for us to pray, and then you can listen to the handbells play before you go to worship and wonder in Sunday school. This morning, for children's time, I thought it might be cool just for you to get to see the handbells and learn a little bit about how they work. You'll notice that there are gloves on the table, And usually the handbell ringers wear gloves because the skin in our hands has a little bit of oil that can tarnish the bells. So when you watch the handbell choir play, you'll notice that they all put on gloves. And then Amber's going to give them directions, and following her cues, they're going to pick up bells, and they're going to ring them. Do you like that sound?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is the first time Willow's gotten to see the handbells. It's pretty cool. Well, I asked a couple people from the handbell choir to come and help me this morning. Nicholas is going to ring a really big bell. Can you turn around and see him? See how big that bell is? Can you see it? That big bells make low notes. Really low. Can you all make a really low sound? Yeah, pretend you're a big bell and go, ooh. Can you do that? Ooh. They're shy. They don't want to be bells. What about a really high sound? Can you make a really high sound like, hi? Can you do that? Hi. You got different colors. That's cool. So Ms. Jennifer is going to ring a really high bell. Look how tiny her bell is compared to the one that Nicholas rang. Now let's listen and hear it. Some of the people in the bell choir ring the really big bells that make low notes. And some ring the really little bells like Jennifer that make high notes. And then there's all these bells in the middle. And added together, they make beautiful music. In a way, the church is kind of like a handbell choir. Some of us in the church make low notes when we sing. Like my husband, he can sing real low. And some of us, like, oh, Miss Becky and Michelle, they sing really high when they sing. They sing high, high soprano notes. And all together we make beautiful music. And in the church when we're working, some of us are big and strong, and we do big physical things. We take care of the church building. We carry big boxes of food to feed people who are hungry. And some of us might not be as physically strong, but we're spiritually strong. And we pray a lot, and we help people in all kinds of ways. So kind of like the handbell choir makes music all together, the church needs all of God's people, the big, tall people, and the people who aren't as tall, and the old, wise people, and the young people who are learning new things and open to God's Spirit. The church needs all of us together. So this morning, when you hear the handbells play, you might think about how the church is like the handbell choir, with really big notes and really small notes and people doing lots of small things together and big things together to make a difference for God. Let's join hands and have a prayer together this morning. Oh, let's let Willow in the circle. Come on. There we go. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of music and the harmony of your people working together in the church. Lord, we pray that you will help each one of us, young and old, big and small, find our place to serve you. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. You all can go sit with your parents for just a few minutes. Thank you. What a good thing to hear in church. That was cool. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns, and as we share these, I encourage you to write a prayer card to someone you know of who is in need of your prayers today. Our card shower this morning is for the family of Betty Black, for Rick and Terry, Brian and Jenny, Russ and Julie, and all of the Black family. Betty's service was held here yesterday, and many of you attended. Thank you to the CWF for hosting a lovely reception. It was a glorious day of celebration as we gave thanks to God for the life of Betty Black, who was director of Christian education here for many years and an integral part of our church. Others who need our prayers today include those who are listed who are in treatment for cancer, those who have health and other concerns. There are some additions to the prayer list this morning. Tammy Heck's daughter, Jessica Steele, is at the hospital today. She's been admitted with a blood clot in her left lung. Jessica is 26, which is obviously fairly young. She's been on some medication. The doctors don't know if that's the cause of the blood clots, but we are praying for her healing today. So please pray for Jessie. Kathy Malloy asked for prayers for her sister Carolyn, who's been in the hospital. Monica Decker will be headed to Loveland this week for a stem cell treatment to address Parkinson's. We pray that that is successful as well. The missionary we're lifting up this morning is Jerry Handy, who serves in Mexico. And we continue to pray for those affected by storms, recovering from hurricanes, and this week praying for people in California, for the firefighters battling wildfires there, for people who've lost their homes. If you're a person who prays for rain, pray for rain in California. Certainly pray for the rain of God's peace and strength to be with all those who are struggling. Our regional prayer partners are the members of First Christian Church in Monte Vista, Colorado, and their pastor, Wayne Whitner. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign to send greetings. Are there others today that we want to name in prayer? Billy. Prayers for Sabrina and her new baby, whom we presume was born early. Jemadiah. Little Jemadiah is only 2 pounds and 4 ounces at Children's Hospital in Denver. We're thankful that she arrived safely. Her lungs are clear. We pray for health and strength for one so tiny, and we pray for her mom, Sabrina, as well. Are there others? Dan. Prayers for a child who was thrown into the snow, who's been airlifted to Denver, and for her mother who was in obvious distress and perhaps on drugs. Prayers for that situation, for that family. In the back. We rejoice with you at the arrival of twin grandchildren. What a wonderful blessing. We pray for God's blessing to be with both of them and with Rachel, with all of your family. Debbie. Prayers for people who are cold, and also a plea from the Rescue Mission for women's socks. If you want to bring socks of any kind, new, clean socks, Debbie can make sure that those get delivered to the homeless and people in need in our community. Amber.
Prayers for good rehearsals this week.
Prayers for the choir as they rehearse for the Christmas cantata next Sunday. Any others today? Let us bring all of these prayers to the Lord as we share together in sacred silence. O holy God, giver of peace, we lift our hearts to you in prayer, praying for peace in our world, peace in our own hearts and lives, peace in our homes, our community, our nation, and between nations. O God of peace, You still extend the call to those who would hear to birth peace into the world. We pray that we might each and all be open to your Spirit. On this second Sunday of Advent, O God, as we hear the story of Mary accepting your call, we pray for mothers. For those who are mothers, who have mothered, who will become mothers. Lord, we pray for a woman so overwhelmed by perhaps the use of drugs, so distraught and confused in her life that she abandoned her baby in the snow. Oh God, we pray for healing for this lost soul. We thank you for strangers who rescued that infant, for those who air-flighted it to Denver. And we pray that this little life might be spared. Oh God, we thank you for Sabrina, a new mom. We rejoice with Billy at the arrival of a tiny baby. And Lord, we pray for Jeminiah, for health and strength as her little form takes life, as she survives and grows and thrives. Thank you, God, for Rachel and her partner, for the delivery of twins, for healthy grandchildren, a boy and a girl. Oh God, we pray for these new babies, that you would watch over them in all the years to come. Oh God of warmth and love, we pray in this winter season for those who are cold, specifically for our own neighbors in Casper, for those who are without heat, for those who are without homes or shelter. We pray for people with cold feet who need socks to put on their feet inside their shoes to keep them warm. Lord, we join with Kathy Malloy in praying for her sister Carolyn. We pray for Cal and Monica as they travel to Loveland. And we pray for Jessica this morning while she's at the Wyoming Medical Center. Oh God, each one that we have named needs your healing hand upon them. We pray for those who need healing from illnesses, physical and mental. We pray for those who long to be healed from grief. We know, O God, that the pain of a broken heart, of the loss of a loved one, does not pass quickly. We pray not that the pain of grief would disappear, but that it would dissipate. That over time, the loss of those who long to be reunited with a loved one in heaven, we pray that that loss will lessen and joyful memories will shine brightly. Oh God, we pray for peace for the Black family, for the family and friends of Betty. We thank you for all that she was and all that she is. Gracious God, we ask your blessing to be upon Jerry Handy and the work he does as a missionary in Mexico. We pray for Pastor Wayne and the members of First Christian in Monta Vista. Holy and gracious God, around the world and down the street, there are people like us who want to serve you, who strive every day with the skills that we have to embody your love in this world. We pray in this Advent season, O God, that the Church Universal might bear testimony to the presence of Christ, the Prince of Peace, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, in whose name we pray. Amen. At this time, our children are excused to go to Sunday school and worship and wonder. They can follow Mrs. Grooms and our high school youth.
With music that beautiful, it makes it a little easier waiting for Christmas. Thank you so much, Bell Choir. That was gorgeous. Cindy and I have a dining table in our house that gets a lot of use, just not necessarily for its usual purpose. It becomes the mail table, so when the mail comes in, it gets on the table, as well as a lot of other stuff that we don't even want to think about. It just piles up. It becomes the paying the bill desk when it's time to do that. When I was taking classes at Casper College, I do homework on it. When I was instructor up there, I used it to grade my tests. One or two sermons have been developed there, probably, maybe one or two. This time of year, it becomes Christmas wrapping central for all of the presents. And amazingly enough, sometimes we eat there. Sometimes. Today, for logistical reasons, a handbell table becomes our communion table. But repurposing should not come as a surprise to any of us. Over 2,000 years ago, a manger for straw became the cradle for a king. For you see, my friends, it is not what it is, but what it is used for that gives a thing importance. As we prepare for communion by singing the first two verses of number 395, Seed Scattered and Sown, ask yourselves this. In the season of waiting and new beginnings, how is our Lord, the father of that child in a repurposed manger, waiting to use me?
Do you
So it's not what a table is made for, but what a table is used for that gives its meaning and purpose. It's not what we look like, but what God does with our lives that bears testimony to Christ, the Prince of Peace. As we come to Christ's table, we remember that night when he met with his friends in the upper room. And while they were there, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's birth and life, his death and resurrection, until he comes again. These are the gifts of God, given for the people of God, that they may be part of what we become, of what God uses us to do in the world. Let us pray.
Still us for just a moment at this table here this morning, O Lord. The noise of battle and the clash of conflict sound about us and within us. Peace is precious, but so elusive. And so, as we share the bread and cup this morning, remind us that the one of the gifts that Christ's death brings to us is the offer of peace. On Calvary's cross, he broke down the barrier of the dividing wall and preached peace to those who were far off and to those who were near. Let us know the peace within that is the sure fruit of your divine presence. We pray in the name of him who is our peace, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As well as our regular tithes and offerings, the next 2 weeks we're collecting Christmas offering. This is one of four special offerings of the year, and this one stays right here in our region. All of the monies that are collected through Christmas offering help the Central Rocky Mountain region with the ministries here, whether it be youth camps, women's renewal, all of the things that go on to make the region do what it needs to do. So we ask that you give generously so that when God calls upon us to give and to be used, we have the funds to do so. Our diaconate will now collect our tithes and offerings. Lord, we ask for peace in our time. We also ask that the time, talents, and treasure that we turn to you can be used to find peace in our lifetime. We thank you for all that you give us, including and most especially your Son. Amen.
This morning's Old Testament reading can be found on your pew Bible on page 667 of the Old Testament. We'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep.
Our next reading today comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are blessed to receive your word. We stand before you as empty vessels waiting to be filled with your peace. Come to us, Holy One, speak to us and live in us, that through us the world may know your peace. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. "Comfort, O comfort my people," the Lord said to Isaiah. God had Isaiah proclaim to the people good tidings, good news. Glad tidings that would echo through the centuries until Christ was born, and the heavenly host would make the same proclamation of good news. For some, the coming of Christmas is good news. And for others, who are perhaps a little busy and stressed, a little overwhelmed, the coming of December 26th feels like good news. It is appropriate both theologically and in practical terms that in the midst of the season of preparation, in the midst of Advent, as we are looking towards Christmas, we are reminded of God's peace. This morning, I have a little gift for you. Right now, I want you to take a deep breath. It's free. The air is good. You can even have another one if you want. Take a deep breath. breath. Sometimes at this time of year, we find ourselves unintentionally picking up the pace. There's only 2 weeks and one day until Christmas. If you're the parent of young children or the grandparent of kids who are expecting presents, perhaps your list is long right now. There's that shopping to do, that gift to finish, the wrapping yet to happen, the Christmas cards that may still need to be written and sent, and oh my goodness, well, I'm just too busy to do that. This year I'll send Christmas emails, but that takes time too. Last night I had to laugh at myself. Charles and I came home from a Christmas party with the choir. We pulled into the garage. I got out of the car and realized my Christmas wreath was hanging in a black plastic garbage bag right there. I took it off the wall and carried it into the house, walking past the chalkboard by our back door, which still says, Happy Turkey Day. I opened the front door and thought about hanging the wreath, garbage bag and all, on its hook, but I took it out of the sack. I hung the wreath, closed the door, went back inside, and left the pumpkins right where they are on the front porch. I had to laugh because I'm still in this juxtaposition of seasons. Here at First Christian, we're counting the Sundays of Advent. We're halfway there. But somehow, I'm still catching up with myself. Nicholas and I were talking this morning about family traditions. We are both blessed with mothers who, for years, were the most magnificent Christmas preparers you have ever met. I've experienced firsthand what Nick knows so well, that Jennifer is a perfect gift giver. She's one of those people with just this natural sense of knowing exactly what someone needs. Nicholas said that for years he would get from his mom the perfect present that was just what he wanted, that he didn't even know he was hoping for. My mother was a master of Christmas. Every year, the tree was freshly cut in the Sacramento Mountains near our home in southern New Mexico, erected in the living room, decorated with lights and tinsel and a variety of ornaments. The little annuals she collected at Hallmark and the handmade kindergarten glue pipe cleaner falling apart things still hanging on the tree. They all came out and decorated the home. This year, my dad said, he's not going to put up a tree, it's just him. I said, okay. This year, I asked Charles, should we put up a Christmas tree? His response was completely neutral. It was very clear to me that if I gave any indication of wanting the tree up, he would make sure that he helped that happen. He also made absolutely certain in his neutral response that if I wasn't sure I wanted to mess with the tree this year, that was absolutely okay. We're still sort of in limbo. There's no tree up in our house. I don't know, maybe next time I pull in the garage, I'll notice the box and carry it in. Maybe I'll leave it in the box in the living room and put a garbage sack on it. I have to be honest, I have never before, during the season of Advent, felt so calm about all the preparations I usually try to do, the cookie baking, the house cleaning, the card writing, and that's okay. Can you imagine what Mary's life was like when the angel showed up? By tradition, we tend to think of her as being fairly young when this happened, but we really don't know. In Scripture, in the Old Testament, the word that is most often translated virgin, the word Alma in Hebrew, simply means young woman. But there's a whole cultural context around that word. that indicates she's a young woman from a family with standing in a community who has some power and voice of her own, who is respectful and respected. All of that is summed up in a word that we think talks about human sexuality, but actually talks about an entire person, Alma, young woman. Isaiah and other prophets foretold that Alma, a virgin, a young woman, would mother the Messiah. And then, by the time of the New Testament, the language of the day shifted from Hebrew to Aramaic and Greek. When the Septuagint was put together, the Hebrew Bible translated into Greek, the word Alma became Partheon, virgin. It didn't indicate necessarily someone young, but there was something special about that specific word, virgin. It was often applied to those who worked in a temple who knew what it was to be holy. So Mary, the virgin we hear of in Luke, Partheon, Alma, was probably a young woman. She was definitely female. She was someone who had a sense of herself and her place in the world. She was someone who, before the angel came, already knew God. Can you imagine her life when the angel shows up? Greetings, favored one. Hail Mary. It's kind of scary to think God knows your name. It's comforting and beautiful, but it's kind of scary to think that the creator of the whole universe is keeping track of you. God is able to call you by name and to show up on your doorstep. Greetings, favored one, the angel says to Mary. In traditional art from the Renaissance masters on, the angel is often portrayed kneeling before the virgin. It's the position a suitor takes when he goes down on one knee and brings forth a ring and asks his beloved, "Will you become my betrothed?" The angel, on God's behalf, comes as a suitor to woo Mary, to ask inquiringly and lovingly of her the greatest of all questions, "Will you bear my child?" The angel does not charge in with sword drawn, demanding an edict from on high. Mary gets a choice in the matter. Mary gets to say yes or no. We get to say to God, yes or no. Like Mary, we have the invitation to birth God into the world, to make space for God in our lives, to let the seed of God's love and peace grow in our world. We have the choice. We can say to the Most High, "Not now. Lord, I'm a little too busy putting up my Christmas tree and writing my cards and baking my cookies, so let's talk later, please." We are given the chance to choose how much of God we will welcome into ourselves. To be honest, some days I open my heart just a little crack, and God sneaks in. And it's so wonderful that it reminds me of those days when I opened myself wide open to the holy. Last Sunday, we heard the story of the tree of Jesse, the lineage of King David, the ancestry of Jesus, the story of hope that comes when God chooses to take a broken, splintered, neglected little twig of a tree and graft onto it God's grace. This week, the story of God's grace growing continues. It continues in Mary when she is given the chance to choose. Will you mother God? I wonder how long the pause was between the angel's question and Mary's response. It doesn't really show up on the text on the page. It's kind of hard to just have a blank space. But I think somewhere in there, Mary took a breath. She paused. Perhaps she even closed her eyes and breathed deeply. What a wonder it is that God chose her to ask, to invite, to open herself, that the Prince of Peace might come into the world. And what a greater wonder it is that Mary said, yes. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Halfway through Advent, it's good for us to take a breath, to pause, to know that God's peace still wants to come into the world, and each one of us gets to help birth the peace of the Prince. There are some times in some families, in some years, that the joy of Christmas is exultant. And there is peace in the middle of all the presents and parties, the festivities and food. There is God's peace abiding with you in the midst of all the preparation you make. But sometimes, in some years, in some families, you're just not feeling it, and that's okay. If you shorten the list a little bit, you make some phone calls instead of sending out the perfect card, you have a smaller tree or no tree at all. You set out a nativity scene and just look at it. Sometimes, some years, in some families, the best way to find God's peace is to do less. To not have the perfect Christmas where you hosted the best feast that has ever been, but instead, shock, you order Chinese food. It's okay. Think about Mary and what happened when she told Joseph what was going on. Joseph had to be convinced of the adventure ahead of them. The angel visited him in a dream, and finally, after he said yes too, they pack up the family donkey and head from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's a crowded, crazy place. Last Sunday in our event in Fellowship Hall, there was chaos for a little while with almost 50 kids running around with parents making clay pots and learning to write Jesus in Hebrew with a stylus. That was only a glimpse of what Bethlehem would really be like on the night Jesus was born. A bustling, crowded city so full that there was no room to be found except a borrowed stable. God chooses to come sometimes in inconvenient ways. We make our plan for the perfect Christmas. We set the table with the best china and the linen tablecloth were decorated and ready, and then there's wrapping to still be done and a baby's diaper to be changed, and chaos reigns, and life is inconvenient, and in the midst of the crowded busyness, God comes to remind us to breathe, to be comforted by Isaiah and Mary both. What is your life like this Advent? Is it right on track? Everything's done, you're prepared and ready. 2 weeks from now is the big day. Or are you a little stressed? It's okay, and perhaps even more than okay, it may even be an act of holy behavior to take something off the list, to do just a little bit less, to change your plans so that the one who was born in a stable, whose cradle was a manger, can show up in surprising ways even now at your dining room table, whether it's set with paper plates and stacks of mail and bills to pay, or the fine china is there and polished and ready. Invite Christ to come to your table this Christmas. There's an old Jewish custom at high holidays to set out an extra cup, a cup for Elijah, a cup for the prophet to show up. It often comes in handy when a large Jewish family is gathered. You think everyone's there, and then that second cousin twice removed of Sid, who lives next door, heard there was feasting and shows up. There's a place already set, and cousin is welcome. The Jewish custom of setting an extra cup on the table is a reminder to open ourselves up to the extra presence of God. Sometimes at Christmas, we get worried about the extra presents under the tree, the extra special things we want to do for ourselves or others. We forget that Christmas is about the presence of Christ. So this Advent, especially this week of peace, I give you permission and indeed blessing to take something off your list and let go of it. To find what it means to be content with enough. That may not look like perfection in the eyes of the world, but somehow when you're serving God who shows up at inconvenient times, it's just perfect anyway. In your own heart, set an open extra cup for God's love to fill. Let the peace come in. And pray for the world in which we live. A world that tends to focus on taking, which leads to war instead of giving, which leads to generosity. Pray for Israeli and Palestinian neighbors in Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, who are caught up in politics and boundaries and borders. Pray that for Jew and Arab and Christian and Muslim alike, Christ might come this Christmas with glimpses of peace. Pray for those corners of the world that distress you most if you watch the news or read the paper. Those places where peace seems farthest away, open your heart to the possibility peace might even come where you least expect it, where it seems most impossible. In your own family, if there's tension, pray for peace. Pray for peace to come again. Like a gentle breeze, the growth of a tiny seed hidden in darkness, sprouting tendrils of spring, even in December. Pray for peace and breathe. Make space in yourself, just as Mary made space in her life, for God to be born again. And may you have a blessed Christmas. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn today speaks of the ways in which God works in mystery beyond human sight, in hidden secrets to bring new life. In the bulb is on page 638 of your Chalice hymnal. And though it is not a Christmas song, it certainly speaks of what God does during Advent, during this holy time of year. If there's anyone here who's looking for a church home or is moved to ask Christ to be your Savior, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing together number 638 in the bulb. It is a privilege for us to have visitors with us this morning, and we hope that you will stay for a cup of coffee and a time of fellowship. There are refreshments waiting downstairs in Fellowship Hall. I encourage everyone to greet one another, linger for a moment before you get on with your day. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O God, who works forth new beginnings from our endings, Holy Lord, we pray for your blessing of peace in this Advent season. Be with us this week as we go forth, that our lives might be open to you, that we might make space, O God, for you to be born again. In your holy name we pray. Amen.